This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on today's broadcast Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. Governor Wallace, I know these have been busy times for you. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
It's a pleasure to be back with you, Dick, and always good to see you folks.
Well, Governor Wallace, naturally, the demonstrations in Selma, Alabama have been making national headlines during recent weeks, and I'd like to discuss this subject with you. First, let me have your position on the maintenance of law and order in Selma and in the state of Alabama.
Well, of course, it's always been my determination to maintain law and order, to protect the safety and health of all the citizens of this state, both black and white, and also anyone who happens to be in the state.
Now, Governor Wallace, the demonstrators would have the nation believe that they are really seeking the right to vote, that that's the reason for all of these parades and general gathering of large crowds, that they're seeking the right to vote. Is this the case in your view?
In my judgment, that is not the case, because in the court case, federal court case in Montgomery, testimony by one of the leaders when he was asked about whether this was what the demonstration was for, he was asked the question, "You led a demonstration in Savannah, Georgia not long ago in which every Negro who wants to vote is voting there." And he said, "Well, that's right, but we led the demonstration for human dignity." They called out 2,000 names on the last registration day in Selma, people who had signed up or been given a number, and not a single one of them answered the call. In my judgment, this is not for the right to vote, but for the right to create trouble and disturb the peace and tranquility of the domestic scene.
Well, actually, these people are seeking what they would term the right to demonstrate, and I'd like to get your view on this. Does the so-called right to demonstrate, should it be allowed to supersede the right of peaceful travelers to have unobstructed use of a major highway, such as U.S. Highway 80, which passes through Selma?
They have no right to march on the highways, in my judgment, and so far the federal courts have said that that is the case. This was a 50-mile stretch of highway with wooded areas, with embankments, with guardrails, narrow, winding road in many places, hills, embankments. And this certainly would not have been in the interest of even the marchers to have marched upon this highway or on the side of the highway. It's a heavily traveled highway. There would have been thousands of curiosity seekers on the highway, and it would have endangered the safety of not only the marchers but also those engaged in vehicular traffic, and we felt that we must even guard the right of all people, including the marchers. By not letting them march, we felt that we did them a great service insofar as their safety was concerned.
I was going to ask, wouldn't it have been unsafe for the demonstrators had they been allowed to march down this heavily
traveled
road?
Yes, it certainly would have, and that was one of the prime considerations in the refusal to allow them to march.
So actually, rather than the police brutality of which the law enforcement officers have been accused, they have actually been looking out for the best interests of everybody, including the demonstrators.
That's absolutely the case, and of course, the matter of police brutality has been charged in every city and state in the Union. If the charge of police brutality means that police brutality exists, then police brutality exists in New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Boston, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Kansas City, Miami, Nashville, and every other city that you can name, because that's what was charged in the Harlem routes and the Rochester routes in Philadelphia. So a lawless group always charges the amount of police brutality.
Well, do you believe that these charges of police brutality then are being raised as a smokescreen?
Yes, they are. And just assume, for argument's sake, that in some instances there are excesses on the part of policemen. Just assume that. I do not admit that that's the case, but assume it for the sake of argument. Any time that you have a lawless element who defy federal, state, and city authority, there's always bound to be some excesses sometime in some place in the tumult and in the confusion. But really, the cause for any excesses, if they happen to be, is because of those who were flouting the law in the beginning. And therefore, as long as we have people who say they're going to demonstrate and march contrary to city, state, and federal orders, why, of course, someone is bound to have the charge of police brutality aimed at them.
Governor Wallace, there's been a lot of distortion and a lot of name-calling. A lot of resolutions have been passed, and you yourself have been vilified by many Americans. I don't believe anybody has asked you this question straight out before, though, and I'm going to. Just what is your policy in handling racial demonstrations?
My policy is to use the least amount of force necessary, to use no force if no force is necessary, and to do the best that anyone can do to see that no one gets hurt. I don't like to see anyone get hurt, regardless of their race, color, creed, religion, or national origin. And therefore, our policy has been to preserve law and order, which is in the interest of all the citizens, regardless of their race.
And of course, the alternative to that would be anarchy, wouldn't it?
The alternative to that is anarchy.
Now, Governor Wallace, some people have said that you and other leaders in the Deep South should try to negotiate with the leaders of this agitation, try to work out a compromise, sit down and talk it over, as they would put it. Do you believe that the leaders of these demonstrations are really interested in compromising, or do they want a complete takeover?
No, because it was argued that if the Civil Rights Bill passed in 1964, it would put the demonstrators in the courts and out of the streets. And we've had more street demonstrations since the passage of the Civil Rights Bill than we had before. So if it were not this, it would be something else. Now, the old tactic of the liberals and the communists in the Saigon and in the Balkan countries and in South America and every other place has been to bring about street demonstrations and then to sit down and negotiate. And then the negotiation always requires you to give in to them. And then when they get that, they go back and demonstrate again. As the witness said, we were not demonstrating in Savannah for voting rights. We were demonstrating then for human dignity. So what I'm trying to do and what I call negotiation is this. My legislature is meeting at this moment to provide the finest educational programs that Alabama has ever had. This is in the interest of the Negro citizens of our state. I am building in my administration 8 junior colleges and trade schools for the exclusive benefit of the Negro race. We have helped to see more industry brought into our state in 64 than any state in the South. We were second in 1963, and the Negro people have received their pro rata share of the fine, new, high-paid industrial jobs created. We even have a free textbook program. We are the only southern state that doesn't have free textbooks. Mississippi, for instance, has had this program since 1941. And in our judgment, this in itself is going to upgrade the educational programs for the Negro children of Alabama. And therefore, in all of our industrial tours, we think about jobs for all of our citizens, regardless of who they happen to be. And I might say that I've said many times that anyone who is qualified to vote under the laws of the state of Alabama should be allowed to vote and are allowed to vote. And if you go by the test given by the state of New York, which is a stricter test than we have in Alabama, we have 147% of the eligible Negroes registered in Alabama if you compare the test and standards with New York with Alabama. We have about 135,000 Negroes in Alabama who have finished the 6th or 7th grade. There are 115,000 of these who are registered. That leaves about 20,000 not registered who would be qualified otherwise, but there has been more or as many as that who have been convicted of crime, which even the federal Constitution says you can prohibit from voting. So actually, those who say we have only 10 or 20% are saying 10% or 20% of the total Negro population, but those over under 21 years of age do not vote. And we have about half of our population of Negroes under 21 years of age. So you have to take the percentage of those who are over 21 years of age and the percentage of those who are eligible, and frankly, we have around 75% to 80% of the eligible Negroes in Alabama now qualified to vote.
Do you believe that the voter registration laws of Alabama should be and are in fact being fairly and impartially administered?
Not only are they fairly and impartially administered, there hasn't been a single case, I don't believe, if there have been any cases, maybe about one or two filed since the new board of registrars were appointed 2 years ago. The other cases that have been talked about have been on registrars who were appointed some years back. But if we are going to have demonstrations because we go back into antiquity, I wonder why we don't have demonstrations about the treatment of the American Indian. If anybody has been discriminated against in years past, that is no reason today to disrupt the entire internal security of the United States. And if we wanted to demonstrate about past grievances, we could demonstrate about the treatment of the Japanese American citizens during World War II when they were incarcerated in concentration camps in our state. But we must go by the present. We have a civil rights law that is designed to take care of any grievance of anyone, and therefore there's no reason to demonstrate.
Then the leaders of these demonstrations are in effect saying that this civil rights law doesn't go far enough, and they're seeking additional federal voting legislation.
What they're trying to do is to destroy the literacy test. They want people to vote just because they're over 21 years of age. And I think it's all the way back from 1000 B.C. There have been qualifications for the exercise of the franchise to vote, and this exists in many states. I think Massachusetts even had up until just recently a requirement that if you won relief, you couldn't vote. That's not the case in Alabama, and the literacy tests in New York are even more stringent than those in Alabama.
Governor Wallace, our time for this discussion has gone by very quickly. I'll be looking forward to talking with you again on next week's program. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. This special program has come to you from Montgomery, Alabama. Join us again next week at the same time, and we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.